Sorry.
ברוך אתה אדינו אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. Does anybody have in their last booklet? Oh, I see where it is. Okay. Very good. Mitzvah. Okay, B'siyata D'Shmaya, what we're going to be doing today is one, two, three things. The first that we're going to be doing is dealing with a global issue in regards to Sfeikos of Ksamim that we didn't discuss. We could really discuss it almost anywhere in Kuf Tzadi, so based on the Maron Komos, we're going to discuss it now. And that is halachos in regards to Safek in Ksamim. So that will be topic number one. The big topic for today will be Kesem on Beged Savua, which is the end of Sif Yud. And then we will begin Seifim Yud Aleph and the rest of Kuf Tzadi. The rest of Kuf Tzadi is going to deal with many different cases of Tzlios. Most of them might have been a little bit more common in the time of Chazal, which are not so common today. We'll sort of start ourselves off on it, but we're not going to go through all of Kuf Tzadi inside, because most of Kuf, I would like you to, but for sheer, we just wouldn't finish in time if we would go through every single case. We're going to discuss, extrapolate the most important cases probably on Wednesday. And today we'll sort of start off with a little bit of a hakdama. Yes? Thursday, thank you. My bad. I mix up Gemara and Halacha often. Okay, so that's going to be one, two, and three, our three topics for today. In regards to topic number one, so basically we're just going to see it through the eyes of Chacham Avadia. You have the Mar Mokom on your on the cover sheet from Hilchos Nida number 22 that Chacham Avadia discusses in the Mishberet HaTara. He discusses the following two different sveikos. One suffix is, what happens if a woman saw a kesem on her beged, and she's not sure if it's a sheer kigris, so she's going to ask the Rav. It's red, it's clearly red to her, but it's not clear if it's a gris. And she puts it away to ask a she'elat chacham, but Chacham Avadia continues on the fifth line from the top in the Mishmeret HaTara. I don't have the exact page in front of me, but it's in your booklet on the cover page of the Maror Mokom. He says, but what happened was, Ach b'nei habayit lo yadu mizeh v'kibsu et habeged. In your booklet, I'm sorry if I'm not being clear where it's in your booklet, it's about four, maybe six or seven pages into booklet number 22. Ach b'nei habayit, it says Mishmeret HaTara on the top. Ach b'nei habayit lo yadu mizeh v'kibsu et habeged. What happened was that there was a shaila, but they didn't realize it, and they laundered the beged. He says, a woman has a cheskes tahara, and ksamim are only going to be midrabanan. You're going to say there is a reisa, that at the end of the day, she doesn't have a cheskes tahara because she saw a kesem. Yesh lidmos din zeh lemay dekaimelon biyardea im nisariv min bimino v'nishpach b'in yishen yichol lamod olav l'shura im yedua shayiru boheter muter desveka derabanan likula. So the halacha is that when it comes to min bimino, so then we're machmir on shishim, that you need shishim midrabanan. However, min haTorah, as long as you have rov heter, it's going to be mutter. So what happens if it got poured out? This we discussed last year. What happens if it got poured out and you're not able to be mishar shishim? So since it's safik derabanan, the halacha is that we go lekula. Okay, we'll see if we'll discuss this again next year. But the bottom line is that when you have a safik derabanan, the halacha is that you go lekula, even though you have a reyesa lefaneinu. Nevertheless, he says that you could be makel. he quotes that there are machmirim, and he points out there's a Tshuva Sarajba that might seem to be against him, but he points out the Tshuva Sarajba is not against him. And I think the standard psak is like Chacham Avadya. Now this comes up. I remember one time a woman came and asked me a shaila, and somehow, for some reason, the shaila disappeared. So I was worried I'm going to have to crack open these halachas. I think, Baruch Hashem, in every case, I was scared that the shaila disappeared. It was ultimately found. Interesting thing with my children. I guess you could ask Arya's wife how she processed it. But it was in the beginning days when I wasn't getting a lot of shailas, so I hadn't really developed a system of how people should bring it over to my house. So there were a couple of times where the kids opened up and they had no idea what they were looking at. One time they went over to my wife and they said, "Mommy, what is this?" And their minig was when they came home from school, they checked the mailbox. That was the thing. So the Eitz HaTovah, by the way, is Mirtz Hashem, when you have children and so on. So you tell people to write your name and have it in a closed envelope, so the kids know that you have your mail. And they put the mail on your desk. So that's but every once in a while, what happened was is that a shaila disappeared. So Baruch Hashem, every case that that happened that I could recall, the shaila was found. But what happens if it really, really, really disappeared? So if the shaila was, bottom line is that if the shaila was that it was less than a gris, so then in such a case, then you could be mekel Chacham Avadya says. Now he gets into a little bit more of a difficult situation. He talks about in the next page. In Mishmeres HaTara, on the left side, he deals with the following case. So what happens if there is a mare of a kesem, and it gets lost, and you are mesupik whether it was red or not? In other words, this is a little bit of a different shiloh than the other shiloh. One shiloh was, there was a suffik whether it's the size of a kagris. This shiloh is, it's a suffik whether it's red or not. So, bottom line is, a chachmas adam is meikel. A chagon Reb Shlomo Kluger, kasa lahachmer zem. Mikimut sherov damim hayotzim nakar, yesh lem mare dam. So, Chacham Avadya quotes that Reb Shlomo Kluger is machmir because most blood that comes out of the makar has mare dam. Now, in the time of Gemara, it might not have, but today's most maros are... anything that's red, we have to be machmir. Sharele didan kol mar sheish ba'ad mumit tameh, ve'ein letar el mar yarok. So what are the odds that this is yarok? The odds are is that it's some type of level of admumis. That was the svar of Shlomo Kluger to be machmir. However, Chacham Avadya points out, bottom line is, we could test it actually. We've tested already in our chabura. This is chabura time generally, right? So we test in our chabura. Most shailas that come to us are not even known to admumis. So he says, Reb Shlomo Kluger is making an assumption that on the range of the rainbow, that most are red and you'd have to be machmir. But bottom line, in terms of most shailas that come to a Rav, most of them you could be makel as opposed to be machmir on. So therefore, in terms of the color. So therefore he says, he quotes this from the Shevet HaLevi, five lines from the bottom. It's that the Shevet HaLevi brings down Reb Shlomo Kluger. Because of its arachin, she'ulai b'yamav lo hayinashim maros kismein lechachim rak sam manotam admumis. Ube'elu yeshlam kshlam notam mara adam. She'chitvev yesh achmer. Avo b'komos elu she'anashim evias kol kesem she'yiru. Says the Rav Ozner suggests, once upon a time, the women only, they had a better sense. So they only bought the most complicated shailas. If they bought the most complicated shailas, those were already notal admumis. However, today he says says Rav Ozner, women bring their shailas more often. It's a fascinating study in statistics. There's someone in the Gush who now studies. As a kid, I grew up studying baseball statistics. So Lahavdil Elf Alfei Avdalos is very intriguing. You rate players, who's really a better player as opposed to just the all-star balloting, the real Eimek Shabbat. My father did everything seriously. We were sports fans, but we took baseball seriously also. So we learned it b'iyun. We learned baseball b'iyun. I have to record that eventually. So we also, lahavdil afafei avdalos, learned baseball b'iyun. So I told my father that he'd be very intrigued that there's someone in the Gush now who's studying the quality of gedolim b'iyun. In other words, who was a bigger posek? Now, how do you rate who is a bigger posek? So there's someone in the Gush who's doing that. But he's doing it from 300, 400 years ago, so people won't get insulted. Nowadays, somebody might get insulted. So he did a fascinating study. He studied He studied how far was the Pesach's reach. Where was the Pesach getting Shailos Uchuvas from? Was he getting just from those shteplach that was around his town? Or they come from across the world? So, I don't know if he's rating who is the greater Pesach or not, but who's Psak at that time, who had a greater hashpa on the world in the Olam of Halacha? So you could study, you could actually study that. So why do I mention this? Because this is a fascinating study in a different area of Halacha. How did people ask a Shaila once upon a time? So Rav Ozner is claiming that once upon a time, Rabbanim got less Shailas, but more Chomerdika Shailas and Nida. Now they get more Shailas, but most of them are less complicated. So therefore, Rav Ozner says that you could be Mekel, because the odds are that it was really a Shaila that's going to be Aser, that's Notalad Mumis, is slim, while Rav Shlomo Kluger had assumed differently. Fascinating. When I told this to my father, Harini Kapars Mishkavo, I then suggested to him something about two different posts, and I'll discuss afterwards. And he thought it was interesting. So it's on my head because of the conversation with my father. Yes, Shlomo.
Is color potentially a factor in the first suffix as well? Meaning, if we're
mistaken. No. So here we're talking about that she knows that it's red.
Oh, okay.
She knows that it's red. So there, that's why these are two different shots. Ad Khan, yeah.
L'maisa
or Mekel on both. From what I understand, we're Mekel in both of these shilas.
But
by the way, Rabbi Osai, this doesn't solve. A lot of times it gets lost, because usually what's going to be getting lost is a bedika. And a bedika is a suffix d'oraisa. So everything that we just said now does not apply to bedika. So that's very important to realize. We're doing samim now, and we're not doing bedikas. To remind you that when we do bedikas, we'll have to be miyaches to that problem when it comes to Bedikas, but that we're not touching now. Yeah.
Someone independently be allowed to invoke the Sarsagan here if they are super on both of these things?
What I would recommend is don't do it independently. Discuss with the Rav. Tell the Rav, you know, I've been bringing Shilas for 3-4 years, and it's still going, right?
Two different cases.
As long as it's still going, it's not disturbing.
The second case, is only a problem.
No, but you could have some type of svek here.
Here.
Okay, good. All right. So Ad Kan, Roman numeral 1. The main topic for today is the halach of kesem on a beget savua. So that we could go in our second booklet. We're going to be toggling a little bit between booklet 22 and 23. If you take a look in booklet 23, we have a Gemara, which is already quoted in the Beis Yosef, but since we have the Gemara in front of us, you know that I think it's kedai to know the geography of the Gemaras in Maseches Nida, even if we're not doing all the Gemaras b'iyun. So 8 lines from the bottom, the Gemara says towards the end of the line, Tan Rabbanim Beged Savua Mitami Mishum Kesem. Whether the Beged is white or it's colored, the Tanakam holds it is a problem of Kesem. We pass like Rabbi Nosson Bar Yosef, Amar Ein Mitam Mishum Kesem. Shelo Tiknu Bigdei Tzivonin L'Isha El L'Hakel Kismeim. That they only made the institution of Tzivonin for a woman to be Mekel. So this is reminiscent of the language that we had of Rabbi Akiva about Li'isha Ela L'Hakel that we had in a Mishnah earlier in the 8th Perek, and the Gemara uses the same term, that colored garments were instituted for women to be Mekel on them. So Gemara immediately asks the Kasha, Tiknu, my Tikninu, what type of Takana are we talking about over here? Ela Shalohi Tiru Bigdei Tzivon L'Isha Ela L'Hakel Kismen. So the second sheet is not that there was a takana of wearing colored clothing, but rather that if a woman is wearing colored clothing, in such a case, the takana was that you could be mekel. So here, let's go straight to the Beis Yosef. Kuf, Sadi, Yud, but there's different parts of Yud, of course, because we did Yud about Adover Shein Mekabel Tumah. Now we're going to go to the end of Yud, Dibra Maskel Ubeget Savua. So the tour already quotes the machlokis, and then the tour concludes upasat haramban kitana kama va rambam ki Rabbi Yonason. So it's a machlokis between the Ramban and the Rambam whether we're mekel on beged savua, and the Rambam is a lenient opinion v'kasav adoni rosh avi harashu b'ksamim shomin lahakel. When it comes to ksamim, we follow lekula. Sveikos of Kula already. This was a nice introduction that we had in the previous Sveikos that we go with Ksamim Lekula. So too over here, in terms of Hachra, the Rosh has a Safik Hachra, and therefore he's going to be Mekel. Okay, that's the Psak in the Tur. If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is also the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch. How interestingly, the Nodav Yehuda has an interesting objection, but we'll take first, let's see the language in the Shulchan Aruch. The second half, Sif Yud, we have the Chain, or actually the last part of Sif Yud. The Chain Kesem Shenimtza al Beget Savua Tahara. If it's found on Beget Savua, it's going to be Tahar. What is the Svara of why it's going to be Tahar? So presumably the Svara is that you really can't see the blood very well. Once it's a darkish color, so then in such a case, then you can't really make out that it's red. So if I could be tola that maybe it's not red, so then in such a case, that would be enough in order for us to be makel. That would be the svara. Okay. If you take a look, for example, the Badei HaShulchan, Sifkatan Kuf Yud Aleph, towards the end of booklet 22, the Badei HaShulchan says, Va'af begodim o'ora sho'itzvun b'dei shemayim b'tchil b'riyasam b'klat svum heim, kivan sha'af be'elu ein hadmumis nikar yafeh. The idea is that, however it became colored, since you can't tell the red very well, in such a case, you could be makel. The Shevet Halevi, towards the end of the booklet, excuse me, Reb Nissim Karel, it's in Chut Shani, not the Shevet Halevi. I often mix up the two svarim because the outside look almost identical. Both are black with a gold writing. This is Reb Nissim Karel, it's in Chut Shani, page Kuf Nun Tes. He says, Omnam, it's underlined, Tzarech Sha'abigdei Tzivonim She'ein Mekablam Tumaksam Yu Bedarik Kazu She'ein Hakesem Nikerbo, Kamosha Kasav Rashi. So what we quote from the Badei HaShulchan, he points out, is already Rashi. De Belavan Dam Niker Yafe. Rashi says that on white you could see the blood well. But if it's a color, then in such a case, then you could be Makos. It says Rev Karelitz that it's only if it really alters a little bit the change of the red. But if it's a color that doesn't alter the change of the red, so then in such a case, then we'd have to be machmir. I'm looking around the room. We're very, very black and white. What do I mean by that? All of us are either wearing dark clothing or very light clothing. There isn't anybody here that's right now wearing a lightish color that would be a diun for Rev Vosner, Rev Karelitz, Dahainu. That if it's going to be on like the color of my jacket, then for sure it's going to be fine. It's going to be the color of my shirt, which is white. It's going to be fine. Even Yehuda's shirt, which is blue, nevertheless, it's a darkish blue that I think it would change the red, and therefore you could be makel. But according to Rev Karelitz, what happens if you have something like the color that we have at the desk, a beigeish? So then maybe now here this is an interesting beige because this beige also has tints of red in it. So maybe you could argue that it will change. But if you have something that's quite a light color, according to Rev Karelitz, you'd have to be machmer. However, I heard from Meiri Virabi Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, not that way, that he holds that any coloring is enough to consider something distorted, and the halacha would be that one could be makel. If I'm not mistaken, I saw other poskim also have that shita as well. So there, it's not just Rav Nevin Sal. I did find, maybe you have the cover sheet. It could be in this, in 22. You have 22? Shkai. Can I bring down? I think I might have brought down. No. That any color is going to be fine? Very good.
That is another example of the Sam Sofer. Just like Mahkola, so it's a low plug.
So here also would be a low plug.
You can see the red or not.
Low plug that all big day tzivana. I mamish was being choker in that regard. Yafeh. Okay, so now we found the other marmokum aside from Rav Nemtza. Moreno Rav Willig Shlita is also makel. Okay, but I tended to assume like Rav Nissen Karel. I did find someone else that also has this kula. I don't remember now who I saw it from. Okay. But either way, in Nahara Nahara Upashte, there are these different shitas. Now let's take a look at the language of the Ramah. The Ramah says, Lefichach tilbash ha'isha bigdei tzivonin kidei la'atzila miksamin. So the Ramah says that we have now an Eitza, and that is that women should wear bigdei tzivonin in order to save themselves from ksamin. In other words, when it's not during her yimei libun, she should wear colored undergarments. Now it's very interesting, Rabbosai, the language of the Ramah. The language of the Ramah is Lefichach tilbash ha'isha. Take a look at the Beis Yosef, who quotes the Rambam, a very fascinating Rambam. This actually would be, I think, an important academic Rambam as well, to see how the Rambam sometimes takes certain Gemaras. Because what the Ramah is doing is he's basing himself on a Rambam, but the Rambam does something interesting over here. In the Beis Yosef, Dibur HaMashkil Kosav, towards the end of Yud, the Beis Yosef says, Kosav a Rambam, Lefichach tiknu chacham shetilbash ha'isha bigdei tzivonim, kedei lahatzel midin aksam. It's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says that the chachamim were mesakein to wear colored, that there was a takana to wear colored in order to save women from ksamim. Now, the Beis Yosef asks the obvious question, and that is that if you look back in the Gemara says that that quote was erroneous. The Gemara says, yes, they instituted ksamim to save women, lahakal aleihem. The Gemara says, what type of institution did they make? So the Gemara says, no, we instituted a heter, but not that women should wear. So the Rambam is against a beferish Gemara. In other words, the Rambam is like a havamina that the Gemara rejected. So points out the Torah Shlomim in Sifkat and Yudalid that the Ramah is using, again, something from Rav Willig Shlita. The Ramah is the great compromiser. The Ramah's balance and the Ramah's deftness in halacha, there's no parallel to the Ramah. So the Ramah takes the Rambam, but he softens the Rambam. What was the Ramah's language? Lefichach tilbasha isha. The Gemara said it's not a takana, so the Rambam, he's not going to use the Rambam's language that seems to be against the Gemara, but he wants to take the spirit of what the Rambam does. So the Ramah takes the spirit of the Rambam, he says, Lefichach tilbash isha. In other words, it's not a takana, but the Rambam, maybe it's a way of defending that the Rambam, he didn't mean that they made a takana. Yesh ladon exactly what the Rambam means. And this would be a fascinating study in general. What happens when the Rambam describes a takana where the Gemara says beferish that they didn't have that takana? What does that mean when the Rambam does that? Either way, there is an interesting point halacha lemaisa or la halacha that's made by the Dagla Mervava. Maybe not lemaisa, but the Dagla Mervava in Os Gimel says that he doesn't like this whole psak of the Shulchan Aruch. He says Temahani shelo iviu shum choylek. So the Dagla Mervava makes a fascinating point. Rabbosai, do you remember what daf this was on? This was not the sugya of ksamim. This was in Perek on daf Samach Aleph on the Beis. He points out that sugya over there was talking about whether the beged is metame. That's the question over there. Is the beged metame? That was the discussion. The discussion is not whether the woman is muteris labayla. So he says like this. Says the Dagla Mervava. First of all, there's no Gemara that says beferish that woman is torah labayla in a case of beged savua. A. B is v'kivan shegama Ramban machmir, but the Ramban paskin like the Tanakama. So since the Ramban paskin like the Tanakama says the Dagla Mervava, we have two tzadim to be machmir. Number one, there's no Gemara that says that a woman's going to be muteris labayla. A. B is that there is a shita that says that we paskin like the Manda Amar that says that she's going to be asur and that the beged's going to be tame. And once a beged is tame, of course she's going to be asur labayla. So therefore, says the Dagla Mervava, he disagrees with this psak. Very fascinating. I don't think the world really takes into account this Noda B'Yehuda, but it's fascinating that, you know, there are Talmidim of the Noda B'Yehuda to this day. There are descendants of the Noda B'Yehuda. I'm not aware of anybody that follows this psak, but like when it came to a Dover Shein Mekabel Tuma, that's a given. That's Mefurish. But people, when they list off the Heterim of Ksamim, so they list off that needs the size of a gris, it needs to be on a Dover Shein Mekabel Tuma, and it needs to be on a Beged Savua. So they list off as it's all the exact same thing. But the Noda Yehuda would be very upset if you would list them off as equal. The Noda Yehuda does not paskin that way. Okay, so that's in regards to the general shitas. Now let's get into some details of colored garments. Because, yes?
The Noda Yehuda is not going to, even on Begin Sabu, love the woman
still be Tamea. Right. Notice you can't say, it doesn't look reddish. You can't say, we can't say that it's reddish on. Now, of course, if it's on a beged savua and you know it's not reddish, you could be mekel according to the Noda Yehuda. But the Dalam or Vav of the Noda Yehuda's chumra is that you can't automatically discount that it's automatically not visibly red. You have to look, you're still going to have to look at it. You're going to have to decide whether it's nota ladmumis or not. So there are many, many, many instances. We were talking about, I'm sorry, Yehuda, I'm picking on your shirt. But take a light blue color. So then in such a case, you're right. Maybe if it's on something that's a dark blue, like I'm wearing, so then in such a case, then you could say that you can't make it out. But on a light blue shirt, then you could clearly see if it's red or not. So then in such a case, a problem according to Noda Yehuda. And again, I would say it's not a problem according to Rav Nissim Karel. In other words, that color blue, I think, is already not the ones that he's talking about. But the instance that comes up is a lot of times what happens is they send the Kala back to buy new undergarments because she heard that you need to wear colored undergarments. So she bought a light color, or it happens with sheets. So that sheets, if you have the dam, falls onto the sheets, so then is it light enough of a color is it dark enough to say that you don't see the dam? So according to Nevitzal, you don't need to, a Kala who bought light colored sheets, you don't need to, and you'd be able to be makel, you just have to go to a Rav that's going to pass in that way as well. That's a Diyun. According to Dalgal Mervava, you don't have this heter at all, you're going to have to look at the dam as is. Okay, now let's talk about a couple details. Yeah, I mean, two of my rabbeim. In general, once I came to Eretz Yisrael, I follow Rav Nevinsal's Pesach and Bli Neder. I try, so now it's here. It's Chazal Tzerufe. It's my rabbeim from America too. Okay, let's take a look at the Pisrei Tshuva Sifkatan Chaf Beged Tzua. By the way, there are other things I continue to follow. I changed everything, but in general, the rabbeim that I ask are the rabbeim. Beim here. In the Pisrei Tshuva and Sifkat and Chaf, in the Ramasal Beged Savua, so here he quotes a fascinating Shaila. Here's the Shaila Rabbo said. Again, we're taking away the bottom corner of the masterpiece. So actually, we're going to draw something very, very similar that we had last time. Okay, similar but different. So here's the following shaila. Here's the blue, you have something blue, and then there is, the garment is white, it's mostly white. Okay, and now you have a stain that's red, over here.
The blue box is blue.
Blue box is fully blue. Okay? So in such a case, see, now there's two different forms of visual learning, right? This is one form, or Ben Narsha, that's one form of visual learning, this is another form of visual learning. So if you have the kesem that's on the blue, but it's also on the white, so what would we say? Let's say, there are a few different possibilities. Let's say this adds up to a gris only if you take the blue into account. Okay, that's shaila number one. Shaila number two is there's more than a gris over here. And if you took this and this, two sides on the white, that would add up to a gris. Okay? So we're going to discuss those different permutations. It says, Pisrei Tshuva Sifkat and Chaf, Beged Tzavua, Va'ayim b'tshuvas mil tzedaka. B'din kesem shenimtza al begen menumar gvonim harbe levonim v'shar tzva'im v'lo haye kishir kesem al nimur lavon echad elo shayim mechubar Va'avar al gabi chelak hatzeva tzeva tcheles v'yotze al gabi lovin shebetzida ba'ofen shebein shnei chalakim she'al gabi fisfes shnei alavanim hayibein shneim kishir. Okay, so basically what the Mil Tzedakah just describes what we drew on the board, and that is that you have, starting with Shaila 2, you have enough of a gris on either side. The tzeva breaks it up. So maybe you should say that these are two different re'ios. Do all colors save you when it comes to ksamim? So Rabosei, hear the shaila? No jewel will be left behind. Any need for clarification? Okay. Vehela. So he answered, the gam kolat svam matzilin, the ain kesem shalat seva mitzdarif. So if we're talking about a case, shaila number one that I gave, that all of this is a gris, but you need to include what's on the blue, so then in such a case, if what's on the white is less than a gris, you could be makel, because what's on the blue is not mitzdarif. Oh. No, that's relevant. That's irrelevant. Kimon shakol kesem echad umiz chaber al yedei kesem shal tzeva de osa chibur letzarif shnei alavanim adadi. But it still could join. It's a mechaber. The blue is a mechaber, but it's not a mitzdarif. Let me define my words. It's mechaber that it makes this side and this side considered attached. Because what would the halacha be, Rabosai, if you had less than a gris here and less than a gris here? What would halacha be? In such a case, she'd be fine. Where might she not be fine? If it was here and here, it's less than a gris? Trivia question. Here and here, less than a gris? She should be fine, right? What would the case be? It's not clear what I'm driving at. But if it would be al-Basara, according to Rambam, you would be machmir. And if it will be tipin, that's mitzdarif tigris, you'd also be machmir. Okay, but when we're talking about a beged, I wasn't clear that what I was driving at. But it was on a beged, so you have less than a gris here, you have less than a gris here, for sure you could be makel. Says the Mi'il Tzedakah, but if you have less than a gris here on one side, and less than a gris on one side, but they join for a gris, and there's a chibur on the color, so then in such a case, then you would have to be machmir. I would call the Mi'il Tzedakah the middle position. He's a standard position, and usually in halacha, we tend to navigate towards the middle position. So, but that's the shita of the Mi'il Tzedakah. However, you should note that even though this is what the Piskei Tshuva quotes, well, you know what? Let me give you one extreme that the Piskei Tshuva also quotes. Skipping down, he quotes a Chavis Das. Chavis Das actually has a decent argument. Achein Chavis Das kasav degam makom hatzeva mitzdarif lekishir. He says even the makom hatzeva is mitzdarif lekishir. Now, interestingly, this is a little bit of a collector's item. Ramesha in Chela Gimel Simin Nun Gimel writes that he thinks the Chavis Das makes a lot of sense. Because Ramesha says, come on, at the end of the day, do you really believe that this is not blood? If you see that there's blood on this side, and you see that there's blood on this side, you really think that there isn't blood over here? It's really blood as well. Once you have a way to assess it, you'd be a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes. Here you can't assess much, but you can assess on both sides. So says Ramesha, in such a case, it could be Mekel. That's where your formulation of the time comes back to Rabbi Willig. I would bet that Rabbi Willig is Mekel in that case, because he says that the vort is that once it's on Seva, there isn't a Gzeira. That would be the Shita. By the way, that also, you're also Marviya something else. There are poskim, there's a Chsam Sefer, there's a big diun about whether Big Day Tzavonin, this is actually connected to today's Shir. I didn't put on the Marim Komis because it's such a wild Shita, and it's so not nohug today, but there is a Chsam Sofer that says that wearing undergarments that are colored is not an Eitzah. He says, because at the end of the day, come on, you're fooling yourself. Everybody knows that it comes, that came from the Makar, and everybody knows that it's red. It's like it's a Chucha V'Tzvula. But if we're Masbir, that the din of Big Day Tzivonin is the way we were Masbir, also the din of Gris, that up until a Gris, there was no Gzera, and Big Day Tzivonin, they didn't make Gzera, so then in such a case, that would be fine. And Here, I'm saying a lot of lumdus now. And the lumdus I didn't even prepare, but this is Geschmack. And the Dogel Mervava's assumption was punk far character from the Chassam Sefer, the other Chassam Sefer. Dogel Mervava said that who says that the halacha is that if it's tahar when it comes to the beged, it also automatically means that you're tahar le'isha. But we learned from another Chassam Sefer that in the Pisrei, the famous Chassam Sefer, the most important Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkat and Yud, explaining the Heter Chassamim, that since they didn't make the gzeira on the beged, she's not going to be asur lebaila. So and what we're going to say is as follows. We're going to say that they didn't make a gzeira on the beged when it comes to tseva, according to the way the Rambam paskins, and they did, and therefore tseva is automatically mutter. If tseva is automatically mutter, so then in such a case, then we're not going to have the chavis dasis problem. Come on, get real. The answer to the question is yes, you're right. If we got real, and we would be sleuthing it out, then we didn't believe that this over here is not red. If it's red on this side, it's red on this side, and it's clearly contiguous, of course we believe that it's red. But we didn't make the gzera, so it'll be like the din of gris, and that will be also, v'amevin yavin, a response to the Dogel Mervava. Yeah?
Would it be more megal if it just is on one side instead of the whole thing? I mean, even on the umr that you think looking at the part on the white side.
Interesting. Now, what would the Chavis Das say? What would the Chavis Das say? If it's only on one side, let's say for a moment, it's just here. So here you see it's red and here you see it's red. I think the Chavis Das would also be machmir. Because the Chavis Das would say, you're right, it's not as inductive as if you had it on the other side as well. But still, at the end of the day, it's clearly contiguous. And therefore, I think the Chavis Das would be machmir in such a case. Okay, so that is one extreme. That's the extreme of the Chavis Das. The Chavis Das holds that you have to be machmir on, that you have to be machmir on this kesem, unlike the mitl tzedakah. So that's the Pisrei Tshuva quotes him. What the Pisrei Tshuva does not quote is the Masorah in Lubavitch. In the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Os Chav Gimel, and the Tzemach Tzedek in his Psakim, they disagree, their mashma, that they are more makel than the mitl tzedakah. That they say that the color creates a break. It doesn't even create a chibur. That will work again with the lumdus that we said before, that on colored, it's not even considered, it's not blood. We don't look at it as blood unless we know that there is a hargasha. And therefore, you have two different shilas over here. You have a shila on this side, you have a shila on that side, and nothing in between. So you have, as Rav Rosenzweig Shlita would describe, you have almost all possibilities, all conceptual possibilities within the poskim of how to look at this interesting shaila. Rabbi Kiva Eger creates a big chumrah out of this. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that if you're going to say, even if you're not going to follow Chavis Das, but the standard psak is not as lenient as in Lubavitch. The standard psak is that on two ends, if it reaches a gris on white, we're going to be machmir. Because it's, at the end of the day, it's contiguous. So it says, take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eger, O Zion. So first he says the following. He says, Im hayu menumar tseva, we'll do the whole Rabbi Kiva Eger. Three different points in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Im hu menumar tseva al lavan, va'kesem al tseva v'yotze al tseva al lavan. If you have something that's generally colored, but there's also parts that are white, and the blood is primarily on the color, but goes on to the white. Im b'mash yesh alavan yesh bo kigris va'od, hatseva mitzar from the kesem echad. If there is enough of a gris on the white, then you could be mekel against the Chavis Das. Avol b'ein bo kishir rak b'itzdarfus mashal hatseva tahora. So he paskins like the mil tzedakah. Tshuvas mil tzedakah. V'chein. So now comes along Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he says the following. The following interesting shadow. V'chein im rosa kesem lavan. Ushnek tzosav mara adam, halava mitzarfen adam shia kesem echad. So this I mentioned to you in the last year. Now let's put up a different shayla over here. And this shayla goes like this. This is a mara that a woman has. Okay? Everybody see this? This is a mara. Now in the what I'm doing in the black is I'm outlining where it's clear that she has a mara. In other words, where it was moist. However, most of it was white, except there's a little bit of red over here, and there's a little bit of red over here. Each one of these are less than a gris. Do they join together?
So Rabbi Akiva Eiger extends the mil tzedakah. He says, just like the blue is considered a joint together, could be mechaber the two, so too the mare itself, the lechus, will join it together. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is machmir. So I asked Rabbi Bednar Shlita that I thought that there were poskim who were mekel in this shaila. That they, when they look at a bedika cloth or a kesem, they'll check and see if it's attached. And if it's not attached, and here's less than the gris, and here's less than the gris. So he pointed out astutely that l'chura, the poskim are being mekel, assuming that I'm right, that there are poskim are mekel. We were speaking in the world of svara. He wasn't telling me that he knows also that poskim are mekel. But the, in the world of svara, the poskim would be mekel would work with the tzemach tzedek and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that we don't consider color to be contiguous, so certainly we wouldn't consider white to be contiguous as well and attached. Also, I would add that I think there's room to argue that even the mil tzedakah would be mekel, if I could have the chutzpah to give a svara against Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What's the case of the mil tzedakah? The mil tzedakah is saying, come on, at the end of the day, we know that there's one mara, and if you sleuth it, and maybe this is where Sam's point is, that when it's on both sides, then it's obvious that what's in between is clearly attaching the two, and clearly that there's a chibur. But when you have white by definition is not a chibur. How could you say the white is a chibur? In other words, Rabbi Akiva Eiger's extension of the mil tzedakah is not entirely muchrach. And therefore, I think I'd like to defend the morim who are mekel and say that there's a difference between those two cases. However, I must be intellectually honest and be medayik in the Chachmas Sadim. If you take a look in your second page in booklet 23, I underlined in Kuf Yud Gimel Vav, the Chachmas Sadim says, V'dafka kishekol agris hu mechuber makom echad. When are you machmir? When the entire gris is mechuber, is joined together, avom embo kashir zeh makom echad, etc., etc., then you could be mekel. What was the lashon of the Chachmas Adam? The lashon of the Chachmas Adam is mechuber b'makom echad. He doesn't say that it's red b'makom echad. He says mechuber, that it's attached. So there's a lot of room in the Chachmas Adam's words that you could apply Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's not mukhrak less Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but I was looking to see if the Chachmas Adam is mefurish like me, that you could be mekel. It's not that way. The Chachmas Adam says that as long as it's mechuber. So, we saw the Mil Tzedakah said that even on colored is mechuber, so maybe even lechus is going to be considered mechuber as well. Maybe yes, maybe no. I want to argue that there's room to say that the Mil Tzedakah lav dafka would be machmir, and maybe we could argue a svara that would allow us to extend the middle position even to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and even to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's case, and not necessarily having to be machmir for Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Yeah?
Which way did the
Chachmas Adam sounds that you, sounds like the following. He sounds that you don't need to have a gris of blood attached to be machmir, it needs to be michubar. That's my diuk of the Chachmas Adam. And then we have a chakira, what does michubar mean? So it could very well be what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying, that there's one mara that's mechubar, so then in such a case it would be enough to be mekel. If the Chachmas Adam held like what Rabbi Ben Narsh was saying in the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which I think makes 100% sense, then I wouldn't have expected him to use the word mechubar. I would expect him to say that you need a gris b'makom echad. He says the words mechubar. Mechubar means that there's any way to associate the two. So that sounds a little bit like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But yesh ladin. Okay. Finally, last issue in regards to Big Day Sivonin. The Shevet Alevi in Os Tes. Again, everything now is in your, I believe in your second booklet. Yes, in Os Tes, in booklet 23, Tilbash Oisha Big Day Sivonin. So he quotes the Pisrei Tshuva Chaf Beis. Let's take a look at Chaf Beis first in the Pisrei Tshuva. He says, "B'sefer amudei kesef kasa bezeh nira dafka tilmash tamidi." Then, in general, a woman should wear colored. Dafka tilmash tamid. Aval kedei lahatzel b'mei nidasel b'mei livuna lo. So he says, the amudei kesef says that it means in general she should wear colored, but her yemei libun, her white days, in such a case, that would be different. In other words, what he's pointing out is that you could read the Ramah saying that a woman should constantly wear colored even during her Shiva Nikiyim. Shiva Nikiyim are also referred to as Yimei Libud. So that was because that they would have white sheets, and today we have white undergarments. So therefore, it won't work. You shouldn't follow the Ramah in at all times. If you remember, I told you that Rav Nevinsal also had suggested that this idea of wearing synthetic undergarment that's not Makabel Tuma also fit in with this Amudei Kesef, that he said that they could wear it during the non-expectant Nida times, but not during the Shiva Nikiyim, unless there are issues of fertility. So that's what my Rebbe said is consistent with Amudei Kesef. Then he adds an interesting Chumrah. V'yeish lomer debegimel yom rishonim ein tolim. That there are some say that during the first 3 days, you can't be tola. In other words, colored garments are not even going to work. What's the source of this chumrah? This is a shach that we're going to see in a few contexts. First of all, if we have time today, we're going to see it in regards to our next sif. And it's very much important. It's very important. This shach is very important. In the halachos of the Shiva Nikiyim. The Shach appears in Kuf Tzadi Vav Yud Gimel. And the Shach is commenting on a Ramah. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, there's some who say, B'shlosh Yom HaRisham Shal Yimei HaSfira, Im Matzah Kesem, Ein Tolen Osa Chokil, Kamo Shetolen Sharek Samen, B'shlosh Yom HaRisham Tzvichem Liyas Nikiyim L'Gamri. Wow! This is quite a Chumrah. We're not going to be Machriya in this Chumrah, because we tend to be a little bit more makel than the simple reading of the Ramah. But the simple reading of the Ramah is that during the first 3 days of the Shiva Nikiyim, if you find a kesem on her white garment, in such a case, you don't measure, you don't use a gris, you have to be machmir. Why? What's the svara? The svara of this Ramah, that he's basing himself on a truma and a mardechi, say for a truma and a mardechi, is that the whole idea that we could be tola is after we've gone through the process of a hefsek tahara. But how long is the hefsek tahara? Maybe the hefsek tahara is really 3 days. The hefsek tahara is not just a bedika. You have 3 days. 3 days until you could be tola lahakel. So this is this what the Ramah says. And the Shach in Sifkatan Yud Gimel over there says the same thing in regards to a makkah, that maybe you can't even be tola in a makkah, that the dam is from there, unless the shach goes on to say that's a makkah shiyadua shemotzi dam. So therefore, coming back to our Amudei Kesef in the Pischei Tshuva Kuf Tzadi Chuf Chav Beis, he says, wait a second, if we see the Ramah is already not tola begris in Kuf Tzadi Vav, so too you can't be tola on the first 3 days on colored as well. That is this shita. Quite a chumrah. But what we do know is that lechatchila we're careful to wear white in general. But halacha lemaisa, we're going to need to just get into the bowels of Kuf Tzadi Vav, the Shach Yud Gimel, to see how we paskin over there before we could really be machriya. But what I'm showing you from this Pischei Tshuva is that there's a caveat. There's a caveat to what we're learning, that colored always saves. Maybe, just like a gris doesn't save within the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, so too, colored doesn't save as well. That's step one. Yes, Sam?
I think I got it.
Okay. So the Shevet Alevi in Tes, in Kuf Tzadi, Sif Yud Os Tes, he comments as follows: Upischei Tshuva Muva Deshari Rak Mei Tarasa Mamish Kedei Latzol Ksam Avlovi Mei Libuna V'Avshevik Deitzvonim Einim V'Atelas Cheskas Tahara Achle Chatchila Tzarech Levarer. He says it can't mamish remove the cheskas tara, but you need birur. Rak beisha she'eni yichol litar lebailam atirim bigdei tzefonim gam bimeili buna. So he does say that a woman who can't get clean, we are makel to allow her to wear bigdei tzivonim. Then he quotes a shita that's more machmir. Ubimare Yecheskel, this is one of the great poskim of Hungarian poskim. I think Rabbi Yecheskel Rota was a descendant of him, his. Ubimare Yecheskel kosav di isha sheyesho shelos umaros v'yodas. V'yodas sh'adam ba menekar v'gam efshe sheba b'argosh v'ol samalev ein lo livo shbigdei tzivon afilu meita rasa. So he quotes Ubimare Yecheskel that says that he evokes the chumrah that I mentioned in the Chassam Sofer, that at the end of the day, that if it's close to her body and she knows that it comes from the makar, that you can't be machmir, even b'mei tarasa, certainly, and you can't wear big day tzivonim. You can't be makel and wear big day tzivonim during that time. Thank you for stopping me. And then he says, "Va'ayim b'marsham, mashakasa ba'oras kulos big day tzivonim." And he says, "Take a look at the marsham who gives general guidelines about when you could put on colored to save from ksamim." So the Mar Yecheskel is quite machmir, and the marsham he says, "Look in the marsham, maybe you'll get a few heterim over there." However, in our Masorah, we are more lenient. Reb Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Shulchan Shlomo on page Mem Dalid in the Shulchan Shlomo Os Dalid. Isha she'en yechal itar lebaila, kiman shemotzei ksamim tamid, a woman who's constantly finding ksamim, yechola achar hefseik tahara, lil vosh kol shim v'nikim bigdei tzivon, she'en mekam tumas ksamim. Our Masorah is more lenient than the simple reading of the Ramah and the simple reading of the Pischei Tshuva, at least the Pischei Tshuva's application of the Ramah. Va'af ha-beged ha-samach l'gufa, bo'osamokim yetzivoni, ke'a k'dei shetucha litar Levaila. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's tradition is much more makel than what our tradition from Shlomo Zalman is much more makel than what's brought down in the Shevet Alevi and Kimdumani, that's how we're knowing. And also again Rav Nevensal's psak to differentiate between a woman who is having difficulty getting pregnant, or for that matter, Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be extending it to a woman who has difficulty getting clean. So Rav Nevensal had already told us that you could possibly make a woman who has difficulty having children in regards to a beggar that's not mekabel tumah. So that tradition you find in his Rebbe, that Rav Shlomo Zalman said a woman who has difficulty getting clean should wear big day tzifonim. So that would be the Eitzah. Now, in terms of Lemaisa, unless you convince me otherwise, that's why I'm here, not just to tell you what I do, but also to learn with you and to discuss. If there's a woman who's having difficulty getting clean, so I go in the following direction. The first thing I would do, this is the Seder Hadvarim. The Ramah we're going to have learned later on, this is very, very much L'maisa Rabbosai. The Ramah we have later on says that a woman who, during her Shivanikim, is supposed to do two bedikas. So he's mentioned Rav Willig Shlita. Rav Willig holds, tells his Talmidim to teach Chassanim and Kalas, they should do only one bedika. So Nahara Nahara Upashte, the Masoras that I have is to do two bedikas. In fact, I think I learned that from Rav Neuberger as well, L'chatchil, to do two bedikas. But obviously, if a woman's having difficulty getting clean, so that would be the first thing to go. We would tell her to do one bedika each of the 7 days. If that is difficult, so then we would go to bedikas on day one and day seven. We would go to that. Go to bedikas on day one and day seven. And if that is still being difficult, for example, she is showing stains during the middle days that are larger than a gris, so then we would go to big day tzivonim as well. That would be that's the Seder Adifus that I do. But I'd like to hear what you have to say by looking through the poskim. That's what I've generally done up until now. But I'm learning with you now just to see if that's muskim according to everybody. This Shulchan Shlomo says you could definitely use that as well. So my one chakira I have what I'm throwing out to you is, should I move number 3 to number 2 in the Seder Adifus? What should go first? So clearly we get rid of two bedikas, we go to one bedika. Then what should we get rid of next? Should we get rid of the Big Day Levanim,
and go to colored, or should we get rid of the bedikas of 1 and 7 and go to 1 and 7? Is that clear? Well, in other words, should we go down to 1 and 7 first? That's what I've been doing up until now. And then if that doesn't work, then go to Big Day Tzivonim. Or maybe go the other direction, keep the single bedikas and then go to Big Day Tzivonim. I'll tell you why, practically, I go to 1 and 7 first before Big Day Tzivonim. Because it's usually the bedikas that create the problem. So that's why I'm more likely to go to down to 1 and 7. By the way, we always have to mention that when going to 1 and 7, there's a big risk. That's why some poskim say do 1, 2, and 7. Why? Because if she forgets day 7, then she's got to do 7 full days again. Because the Gzeres HaKosav is that she needs to count 7 days. So she needs the first day and she needs the 7th day. Some poskim say tell her to do 1st, 2nd, and 7th. And this way, if she forgets the 7th, she'll still be able to do a bedika on the 8th. That's why some poskim give that suggestion. Okay, it's only an hour that we started learning, but we did a lot. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop over here. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up with Sifim Yud Aleph. Rabosa, I'm going to try to do quite a blitz. My goal is to do 40 Sifim in one shear next time. I'm not going to do all 40 Sifim. I'm going to pick out the most important pieces from the 40 Sifim Bli Nedar. And then, for those of you who want, I don't really have that. Well, actually, you have a little bit of Mari Makomos that I started from. I called it Dine Tzlia 1 from Sif Yud Aleph. Some important things in Sif Yud Aleph. But the rest, I'm just going to pick out important things. And then I have Mari Makomos already for Kuf Tzadi Aleph for those who want to start Kuf Tzadi Aleph.